It is good to be here tonight as we have another opportunity to open God's Word. Many of you may have read Brother Gus Nichols' writings. Maybe some of you heard him preach. It's been told that he used to tell a story about a sow. And the story kind of went along these lines. If you were to take a bucket of slop and a bucket of diamonds and place them in front of an old sow, he says every time that sow will go to that bucket of slop and eat the slop and pass by the bucket of diamonds. And then he would go on to explain the reason for that. And he would say that she had no sense of values. In Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14, we are encouraged from Scripture to have our senses exercised so that we will learn to discern between good and evil, so that we will learn values. Tonight, I want to talk to you about values that we all need to learn. Values that can help us in this life. To live the kind of life that is rich and full and successful. And most importantly, pleasing to God Almighty. Now I realize in our lesson tonight, I'm not going to mention anything that is new. Really, when you stop and think about the Word of God, many of the lessons that we present from God's Word are things that we need to hear. I could teach a lesson tonight on the plan of salvation, and if our mind and our heart is right, that message of salvation, that plan of salvation, never gets old, you see. That's how rich and that's how valuable and precious God's Word is, because God's Word pricks the heart. And I hope all of us have the kind of heart like Ezra and like the Bereans. We're eager to study God's Word and to seek it out, to stick and to stand with the old paths. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. And so the things that I will mention tonight are things that you've probably heard growing up, things that you've heard lessons on. And so I hope this is simply a reminder of things that we need to value. Again, things that will help us live a successful life. Number one, we need to learn honesty. You know, as you talk to people in the community, maybe people at work, you'll hear this come up quite often. And I think a lot of it has to do with all of the scams out in our world today. And sometimes people throw up their hands and they wonder, you know, can we trust anybody? Is there still an honest person out there? Well, we should be able to tell those individuals, yes, there are, because there are Christians in the world. And Christians can make a difference. You realize this is one of the subjects that Jesus is going to deal with in the Sermon on the Mount. And as Jesus deals with the Sermon on the Mount, you remember the thesis statement. Even Jesus had a thesis in a sermon. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That whole sermon is built around that statement, because the Pharisees were self-righteous. And one of the things that the Pharisees would do is they would make these frivolous oaths. They would say things, but they wouldn't keep their word. And you remember in Matthew 5, 33 through 37, Jesus is going to talk about that. And he's going to make this application. And it's so simple and it's powerful. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. You realize that if you really think about that, that has honesty written all over it. One of the things that we learn in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, is that God hates lying. All liars will be punished, Revelation 21, 4 through 8. But here in Proverbs chapter 12, I want to read this verse to you. Proverbs 12 verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are His delight. What a difference. Lying versus being honest. I hope that we strive to be that kind of individual. Being an honest person, because that's one way you can let your light shine in a dark world. That is one way that you can attract others to the gospel, to the plan of salvation, by just being truthful and being honest with people. It's something that we must learn as the people of God. Number two, we need to learn integrity. Now, I realize as you think about honesty and integrity, same family of words, same idea. But as you think about integrity, we may add this bit, moral courage, or maybe moral soundness. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, Peter says we're to add to our faith virtue. Virtue, again, is moral courage that helps us always do what is right. When we think about people that had integrity, we think about the incident of Job chapter 2, verse number 3. And this is one of the points that God is going to make to the devil, to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? He's upright. He is a person of integrity. What was God saying? Job tries to always do what was right. That's what God was saying. He's a person of integrity. When we think about integrity, we might even think about Joseph in Genesis chapter 9. You remember how he was tempted by Potiphar's wife to lie down with him, and you remember his response, "How can I sin against my great God?" Great story. But again, when we think about integrity, moral courage, moral soundness, we think of people like Job who did what was right. We think of people like Joseph. Again, they weren't perfect, but it was their attitude. It was their outlook on this life. I want to please God. I really want to try to do my very best for my God. I think one person that we may sometimes overlook is Vashti from the book of Esther. Read Esther chapter 1. A lot of times we focus on that story with Esther, but notice how that great book begins and appreciate the integrity of Vashti. Or we may think about Daniel, who made it a point not to defile himself. Daniel 1 verse 8, integrity. You see, integrity keeps us on the right path. It keeps us from deviating to the wrong path. We need to learn integrity. Good question we may ask ourselves is this: is there a price? Is there a price that you would put on your integrity? You think about that question, because we read about people also in the Bible that sold their integrity. For example, one individual that comes to mind is Balaam. When you read 2 Peter 2, verse number 15, we learn something about Balaam. He forsook the right path because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. This also reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So many people will exchange the pleasure of sin, okay, and they sell themselves. They lose their eternal salvation for the pleasure of sin, which is only for a season. Do you see why integrity is so important? And if we're going to live a righteous life, a good life, we need to be an honest person. We need to be a person of integrity. Number three, we need to learn responsibility. I started off with Hebrews chapter 5 as a way of introduction. But you realize as we think about responsibility, we see these Christians were irresponsible in Hebrews 5 verse 11. He says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." Again, they were irresponsible. Well, as children of God, if we're going to be faithful, we need to be responsible. And God is going to hold us accountable. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10, we learn that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, I'm going to give an account of my life, not of your life, but I'm going to give an account of my life, as Paul would also say in Romans 14, verse number 12, all of us shall give an account of ourselves before God. And so let's not make excuses when it comes to sin. Let's confess our sins, as it was mentioned in the prayer tonight. Yet I believe that that sometimes may be one of the most challenging things for us to own up to our sin. Because a lot of times, because of the very nature of sin, we sin and we may want to cover it up, or we may want to blame someone else. God encourages us to be responsible. And again, this is something that we learn, and I truly believe this is something that comes through spiritual growth. That's why God wants us to mature. He doesn't want us to be children tossed here or there, carried about every wind of doctrine. And again, you can go back to Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. And we can see that if we're on the milk of God's Word, we're unskillful in the Word of righteousness, we're a babe, spiritually immature. Be responsible, spiritually speaking, and you'll find yourself growing, becoming stronger in the Lord. Number four, we need to learn dependability. If you would, go to the book of Genesis. And look at this passage here in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 19. There are several passages, I guess, that we could look at, but this is one passage that came to my mind here in Genesis chapter 18. And consider what the Lord says about Abraham. You see, Abraham was dependable. God says in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 18, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Do you see what God is saying about faithful Abraham? By the way, we read about faithful Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, and rightfully so. God could depend upon Abraham. Abraham was faithful to God. And we're encouraged throughout the Scriptures to be faithful. Revelation 2, verse number 10. And 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, dependable." If I was thinking through this, I would have gotten with Brother Don, great song in our songbook, "Can He Depend Upon You?" Great song. Great question to really consider. Can He depend upon you? Ask that question. And listen, you can develop several points. You can add to the points that I'm going to give you. Can He depend upon you to be persistent for the assembly, Hebrews 10:24-25. We're encouraged not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Notice how that context fits with Hebrews chapter 5, same book, same people, and you see how that context developed. These Christians were immature, and you see their immaturity in Hebrews chapter 10. Some of them were forsaking the assembly. Can he depend upon you to contribute every first day of the week? 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 2. I believe that idea was also mentioned in prayer this evening. And what an opportunity it is to be able to give of our means to the Lord. You see, God loves a cheerful giver. Giving is something that we must learn. God loves a cheerful giver, and it's more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20, verse number 35. Do you realize why this is so important? Do you realize from Malachi 3, verse 8, a man can rob God? The people, his people, were robbing him of God's tithes, things that belong to God. Everything that we have, do you realize it's not yours, it's not mine, it's God's. We are simply stewards of the blessings that He has given us. Can He depend upon you to contribute to His cause? Can He depend upon you to seek the kingdom first? Matthew 6, verse number 33. To put Him first in everything. To be the spiritual people that He wants us to be. Can He depend upon you to be ready to give answer? 1 Peter 3, verse number 15. Again, we're to be responsible, and we all have the responsibility of knowing the Word of God, to be able to show people the plan of salvation, to talk to people about the hope that lies within us. Can He depend upon you? We need to learn dependability. Number 5, we need to learn self-discipline. If you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about this subject of self-discipline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize?" Paul says, "So run that you may obtain, that you may win and gain that prize." He goes on to say, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we live the Christian life. We run the Christian race to obtain an incorruptible crown." He says in verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." And now we come to this point, verse number 27. "But I keep under my body." One translation says, "I buffet my body." Now again, the idea isn't that Paul would abuse himself. The idea, the language suggests that Paul practiced self-control. You look at how people live their lives today, and you see for some people they are completely out of control. They have no self-discipline. They don't know how to say no to this or that. We need to learn self-discipline. Because in Galatians chapter 5, we learn that there is a spiritual war going on between the flesh and the spirit. The Apostle Peter would say in 1 Peter 2, verse number 11, that we are to abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In Romans 13, verse number 14, Paul says, "Make no provision for the flesh." We can easily do that when we don't practice self-control. We'll fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind, things that Paul talked about, things that he did before he became a Christian. from Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And so when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, do you realize when we look at the Christian virtues from 2 Peter 1, verse 5, whether I'm looking at the fruit of the Spirit, whether I'm looking at those list of virtues that I add to my faith, temperance, self-control is found in both contexts. It's something that we must learn. Think about this. In Matthew chapter 4, the record of Jesus' temptation. You remember the context when Jesus was tempted? Remember what He was doing? He was fasting. He was fasting. What was He practicing? Self-control. You know, if we're going to overcome temptation, if we're going to take that way of escape that God gives us that we read about in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13, we're going to have to practice self-discipline. We're going to have to learn to say no to the devil's temptation. I believe that's what Jesus was talking about in Luke 9, verse 23, when He said, "If any man come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." We're going to have to learn to practice self-discipline, to practice self-control. If not, we will find ourselves giving in to temptation, and the devil will have his way with us. Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 27, don't give place to the devil. Don't give him the opportunity to work in your life. Resist him. How do you resist him? You practice self-control. Control. Add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge. Listen to it. And knowledge, temperance, self-control. And then finally, we need to learn obedience. If we're going to be saved, we're going to have to obey the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though He were a son, speaking about Jesus, He learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. You see, we are to be God's obedient children. We talked about the spiritual birth this morning as it relates to salvation. And if we're going to take part of the spiritual birth, if we're going to be born again, we're going to have to obey the Lord. As Peter says, we purify our souls in obeying the truth of God's Word. But when you go back and look at what the writer is saying in Hebrews chapter 5, again, obedience doesn't come naturally. Obedience is something that we must learn. And Jesus Christ is our perfect example in obedience, who always did those things, John 8, 29, that pleased the Father. You see, if we're obedient to our Heavenly Father, we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to strive our very best to be obedient to all of God's commandments. Jesus said in John 14, verse number 15, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." The Apostle John says that if we're going to walk in the light and have our sins washed away, we're going to have to be obedient to all of God's commandments. How can you walk in the light if you're not obedient to the Word of God? Psalm 119, 105, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We need to let God through His Word to order our steps, to guide us, to lead us. God will lead us if we're obedient to His will. We learn so much, as I said this morning, about God. And one of the things that we learn about our God is He wants us to be obedient. That's what He desires. God said this about His people in Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. "Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear Me and keep My commandments." What about it tonight? Do you have that type of respect and reverence for God? Do you want to be obedient to God in all things? Tonight we talked about six values that will enrich our life. Honesty, integrity, responsibility, dependability, self-control, and obedience. I promise you, these six values will enrich your life spiritually speaking. They will bring you closer to God. They will make you a better person. The lesson is yours. Tonight, if we can help you spiritually speaking in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.